Calling 911 when in an accident may just not be enough. Car accident, remember. After 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN is a legal and medical referral service. Non-employee spokesperson.
First thing we got to get Colin to do is cut his hair. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not up here to try to be politically correct, but, you know, even if he puts cornrows in it, I don't think he should represent himself, you know, in that way in terms of, you know, just the hairstyle. Just go clean cut. You know, why not? You know, you're already dealing with a lot of controversy surrounding this issue. You know, just try to be presentable.
Those were Michael Vick comments made yesterday to Jason Whitlock and others on the set there on Fox Sports. And it happened yesterday, I guess. It created a firestorm, and Colin Kaepernick had a weird kind of cryptic response today. We'll take your calls if you want on 786-360-0790. I'm not quite sure why this is such a big firestorm, Barry Jackson, but it is. It's creating a lot of furor. I think Michael Vick's comments are a bit ignorant. I think if someone wants to hire Colin Kaepernick, they're not saying the only thing standing between Colin Kaepernick and a job with my team is his haircut. I just don't see that. I don't see how that would be significant enough to deprive yourself of what you consider otherwise a talented quarterback who could help you win games.
Right. To me, the word that was surprising that Vic used was presentable. I could understand him saying maybe if Kaepernick had shorter hair, but to say as though he is not presentable now, I think was sort of eye-opening, and that might be why some people were offended by it. But Vic made the point from his own personal experience coming back, obviously, from being in jail for the dogfighting incident. He said, I started to see what was most important. That was cleaning up and changing my image, not just for public perception, but for the judge and everything I was about to get involved in. So I think that was the basis for what he said. But then he also went on to say that the primary reason he believes Kaepernick is not in the league is because he is not one. 3-16 in his last 19 starts as a quarterback. So I would say that and the anthem would be bigger factors. No?
Well, you know what? If you look at his stats, I don't have them in front of me right now, but Kaepernick's stats the last couple of years, at least last year, were not as bad as people think. I mean, it's really kind of misleading. He did okay. And also, how many, you know, coaching changes and coordinator changes has he had? He's really, and who's catching the balls that he's throwing? I mean, he's really had no chance with this dumpster fire that is a San Francisco 49ers team. And I've said this before, you look at what Michael Vick did, got sent to prison for 2.5 years for dogfighting, and what he did was reprehensible. No excuse for it whatsoever. He was welcomed back into the league. Colin Kaepernick had a peaceful, non-violent protest, okay? He broke no laws. He didn't go to prison. He's not a convicted felon. And he's being shunned by 32 owners.
Well, the one thing that Vic said that I strongly disagree with is he says the reason he's not playing has nothing to do with the national anthem. Now, we already have an owner on record, right? The Giants owner implying that his position on this issue is affecting how teams view him as a viable option to sign. So Vic said he's a great kid. I think it's more solely on his play. I think it's a combination of factors. I think it's the fact that he has not been a winning quarterback the last couple of years. Obviously, it's been 4 or 5 years since the Super Bowl run. Several years ago. And I think it is partly because of the anthem. I think people view him as a polarizing figure who might alienate some of your fans. Now, you and I have talked about how many season ticket holders would a team realistically lose if they sign him? Maybe a dozen? I mean, it's not going to be a high number. So I think it's those two factors combined. I'd given no thought at all to the possibility of his hair being a factor. And I think it's sort of unlikely that it would be.
Yeah, it just seems unlikely at all. Some guy texts into the show. It's about appearance. You're already coming in with baggage. If you want to come back, make yourself look professional. Well, I'm not saying look like a complete slob, but that's his haircut, a big afro. That's his haircut right now. And guess what? If he threw 40 touchdowns last year and 7 interceptions, no one would give a damn about his hair. Michael Vick wouldn't be talking about Colin Kaepernick's hair, because Colin Kaepernick would be signed right now, because people would overlook whatever objections they had to his national anthem, to the Castro shirt, which probably just resonated down here. It's not going to resonate, you know, in Boston or Chicago or Green Bay, Wisconsin. And no one would give a damn.
Right. I think, you know, what Kaepernick should probably do is be proactive with teams, have his agent contact teams looking for a quarterback and say he would like to meet with you, and then tell the coach and general manager of that team how important football is to him, how he's in good shape, how he's been working every day, explain misperceptions. To me, that's his only chance of playing this year.
Now, people say, all right, well, not every team needs a starter. That's fine. First of all, I think he's better than some starters in the league. But if you want to go down that food chain a little bit, he's better than the backups in this league. You can't tell me there are 32 backups in the league better than Colin Kaepernick. If you count each team has two quarterbacks, he's not the 65th best quarterback in the country. He's a lot higher than that.
Right.
He should be hired by somebody by now. And we will talk about that and other topics next segment. And we have a segment called Accept or Reject. But first, let's go to headlines.
Here's what's trending now in Miami on The Ticket. WAXYAM South Miami and FM 104.3 HD2 Miramar.
The radio home of the Miami Heat.
And the Marlins will try to make it two wins in a row against the team with the worst record in the major leagues, the Philadelphia Phillies. Adam Connolly gets a start for the Marlins and is opposed by the Phillies' Vince Velasquez. Now, Barry, Giancarlo Stanton's two homers last night gave him his third multi-homer game in his last nine games. Stanton and the Dodgers' Cody Bellinger are tied for the most multi-homer games this season with six apiece. I think what makes that more remarkable is that Cody Bellinger wasn't even called up to the majors until April 25th. Astros all-star shortstop Carlos Correa will miss 6 to 8 weeks with torn ligaments in his thumb that he suffered in last night's game. And this is interesting. This might have gone below your radar or out there. The NBA's deal with Nike means teams will no longer have home and road uniforms. You can expect to see lots of color versus color uniform matchups next season. Overall, each team will have at least four jerseys. Each team will then pick which set they want to wear at home. The road team can then wear any of their jerseys that are a different color. Would that make it maybe a little more difficult? Could you see a quick pass to the wrong jersey, possibly?
Oh, would that be embarrassing or what?
I'm just saying at some point that's going to happen, I think.
Sure. Sure.
But that's interesting that no home and road jerseys any longer. And those are your very brief headlines. One guy's, let's see, where's the, I don't think it has anything to do with his hair. Standing up for the national anthem resonates in 50 states. See, and if you're offended by that, who am I to tell you not to be offended? I would never say that to anybody. But by the same token, when you defend free speech, you have to defend things that you find reprehensible, okay? And Barry and I said, we've talked about this in the past. Would any of you honestly, for those season ticket holders, would any of you truthfully cancel your season tickets because the Dolphins signed Colin Kaepernick? Really? You'd go that far to a team whose arrow was pointing up? I find that hard to believe. If you want to get in, 786-360-0790. I think the backlash for if a team signed Colin Kaepernick, the expected backlash is overrated. I don't think it would be nearly as bad. I thought the backlash for any team that signed Michael Vick, and it turned out to be the Philadelphia Eagles, would be awful. I think PETA would protest outside. I think people would just go apoplectic. And I don't think, now look, Philadelphia is, what, 1,000-plus miles away. But from what I remember, Barry, and test your memory on this one as well, I don't think it was nearly as strong as what it was projected to be.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, with Kaepernick, I think one thing to keep in mind, we obviously know that the fact he's been an average quarterback the last couple of years who hasn't won a lot is one reason he hasn't been signed. We know the anthem is another reason why he hasn't been signed, even though I agree with you that it would not hold down season ticket sales. I think another factor we have to take into consideration is teams do not want a quarterback controversy that could ensue if your starter, who you're committed to, struggles, and then members of the team or the fans or the media call for quarterback change. I think that had to have played into Pete Carroll's decision in Seattle, because it's been reported that Russell Wilson is the most popular person in Seattle's locker room.
Right.
So if they were to bring in Kaepernick and Wilson were to struggle early next year, you could see conceivably members of the Seahawks privately lobbying for Kaepernick to play. Why would Pete Carroll want to introduce that dynamic into his locker room? So I think that is a factor as well.
That's a legitimate excuse. And, you know, NBA, or look, any coaches in any sport don't like distractions. They don't like chaos. They want things to run as smoothly as possible. And look, the roads around any team are going to be filled with bumps and everything like that, speed bumps, et cetera, and problems. They want to minimize those and minimize distractions. Now, what Pete Carroll, the theory, what Pete Carroll is trying to avoid, that's completely understandable. To me, that's a reason to avoid signing him or anybody that you feel would create a divided locker room. That one I completely understand. 786-360-0790. Frank is in Hollywood. Good evening, Frank.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
No, I'm just, I'm a United States Marine Corps vet, and just the things that he says disgust me. That what he stands for and his entire purpose is like, I'm not doing this against veterans. I'm not doing this, these stands and not standing for the country. It's like, we've granted you the opportunities in this country and you take it and desecrate it. I understand I may be in the minority, but you couldn't get me to watch. I'll hang up and listen.
But aren't you, hang on. You there? Shoot. Okay. I wanted him to stay on. I mean, when you fight for our freedoms, aren't you fighting for the right to do something that is legal, but is against your beliefs? I mean, that's what freedom is. It's the freedom to do what we want as long as it's lawful. And what he's doing. All right, let's go to Anthony in Miami. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. I'm look here. I never did like Michael Vick, but I'm gonna tell you today, after the day, Michael Vick made me a fan of him. I thought Michael Vick was a hoodlum. I thought he was a gangster when he got involved with that dog stuff.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing.
And for him to make a grown-up comment to a football player, cut your hair. He needed to cut his hair.
So you're okay if the Dolphins sign him if he cuts his hair, but you're not okay right now?
Yeah, look here. I'm okay with the I'm trying to comment on what some of y'all I'm not saying you said okay. That, but my man should have said that. I think he should have said it. You need to cut his hair. But look, bro, I never thought Michael Vick would say something like that. I don't know what jail did to him. It made it change the mm-hmm. brother. The brother's a different brother. For him to make you don't find too many young boys will go and make a comment about a guy here. And you know, all them guys wear some weird haircuts.
Okay.
You know, I'm telling the truth. They got some hair going that way. They got some hair going that way. They got some stuff going. You ever seen the Little Rascals?
Long time ago. Many.
Yeah, okay.
About 400 years ago.
Okay, you remember. So, Spanky, that's what it was. I said, Lord, that dude. I mean, his hair don't look like that. But boy, they got some guys out there with some hair. Michael Vick, look here, bro. I never did like Michael Vick, but today I like him.
Okay.
I'm going, man. Bye bye.
Thanks for the call. 786-360-0790. Let's go to Adolfo. Hi, Adolfo.
Hey, you know what's a great thing about living in this country? That you have the freedom to say and act and do what you want to do. I just think with him is you also don't have you don't get away with the consequences. The consequences is nothing bad that he did. It's just people are going to disagree with him. That consequence is going to be like he's going to lose supporters. He's going to lose team owners that don't want to invest in him because of the backlash. So I agree with him in his right to not stand, but he has to also acknowledge that these are the consequences that he's going to face with some certain viewers.
Oh, look, you're right. I mean, with actions, even legal ones, there are consequences, and he's facing them right now. And maybe another person, but why aren't the other players, why aren't the Dolphins players that did this, that didn't stand for the anthem, facing consequences?
Unfortunately, because they don't have the following that Kaepernick
has. I mean, this guy was a Super Bowl quarterback, what, 3-4 years ago?
Right.
Hey, I agree 100%, and I'm someone that's against him, but living in a free country, I applaud him, and I'm with him on that.
Okay. All right. Look, Kaepernick has to know. You do this, this might be the reaction. And maybe the reaction is you might never play again in this league. And maybe what I think this is going to do is probably suppress players that might ordinarily want to lodge a protest, or at least they're saying, I really better be, I can make my views known, but I better be darn sure I'm low-key about it, because I don't want to lose out on the few years I have to earn what could be a great deal of money in the NFL.
Right. Well, it is notable that, as the caller said, it hasn't affected other players. Kenny Stills still got a lucrative contract.
Yep.
Michael Thomas was re-signed at the same amount of money he would have been re-signed for even if he had stood for the anthem. To me, the most surprising thing about the development today with Vic is something the caller, two callers ago, mentioned, and that is to have an African-American player making a comment about another African-American player's appearance, encouraging to cut his hair, to me is rather stunning. What would our reaction be if this was a Caucasian player who had made this comment?
About an African American?
About an African American.
Oh, there'd be pushback.
There would be pushback. Unquestionably. Right. So to me, the fact that Vic said it is the most fascinating part of this story. I don't think there was anything objectionable with what Vic said. I think his choice of the word presentable might have been a little excessive, but the point that Vic was making, I don't believe, was at all objectionable.
All right. Well, this is several lines are occupied right now. I was going to move on to something else, but we'll take your calls next segment. We're going to do something next segment called Accept or Reject. I'm just going to push that back one. But Larry, Tavon, Mike, you hold on. Others, welcome to join. 786-360-0790. We'll take calls on your other, you know, any other topic as well. This is summer. There are a lot of things we can talk about. Alongside Barry Jackson, I'm Frito here. We'll take it till 10 o'clock back after this.
It has nothing to do with him being blackballed. I really think the stand that he took has nothing to do with him not having a job or playing in the National Football League right now. And being frank, Colin didn't have the best 2 years, his last two seasons. It wasn't as productive as what we've seen him do. And maybe it's due to coaching changes and, you know, musical chairs in the positions around him and the players. But I think in terms of him being back, getting back out on the field, it's going to have to be a team that can suit his skill set and what he does.
Last December, tens of thousands of music fans came out to Fort Lauderdale Beach to see 20 national acts perform in the sand. Tickets for the 2017 Riptide Music Festival on December 2nd and 3rd go on sale this Friday, July 21st at 10 a.m. And while we have no plans to announce a single band until early August, we can confidently say this: it will be bigger and better than you imagined, and that's a promise. Get your discounted tickets for a limited time beginning July 21st at theticketmiami.com. And when they're gone, you will pay full price. Riptide 2017 from AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, The Ticket. That was Colin Kaepernick on Jason Whitlock's show on Fox. He said that yesterday. I'm surprised it took this long to surface that it reached the mainstream today. And I was going to move on from this. So when Barry and I were talking about the show, I was going to briefly mention this. I didn't think that it would create the firestorm that it does, but we've got all but one line occupied by people that want to react to this. So give the people what they want. I want to talk about this. Let's go to Tavon in Miami. Good evening, Tavon. Welcome to The Ticket.
Yo, what's up, man? Listen, I'm calling you from a club that I own here, but I want you to, what do you think of?
All right. Let's go to Mike in Miami. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
All right, so this is one thing that frustrates me about this whole Cap situation is, why do people keep linking his protest to meaning that he's disrespecting the military? I feel like he's made it perfectly clear that his protest is against the oppression of black people in this country. Why are people keep making this reach that he's disrespecting the U.S. military?
I don't know. Barry, do you have any idea?
No, I agree with that caller. I think people should be able to make the distinction that he clearly is protesting the treatment of primarily black Americans as far as police brutality. I don't understand why, with the way that he's doing it, people leap to the conclusion that he's disrespecting servicemen, disrespecting the military. I think that's a reach that should not be made, a conclusion that should not be made.
Right, and I mean, this is another, you know, conversation entirely. But why, you know, why do we have the national anthem at games anyway? That sporting event, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, the whole question of should there, the anthem even be played at games, right? I mean, been debated for years. I don't see it changing, though.
Of course not. And granted, listen, if I was an NFL player, you know, I'm not going to take a knee. I'm going to stand up and put, you know, my hand on my heart. But that's just me. That's just, you know, my instinct. But if some guy is trying to do a protest, what gives me the right, you know, as NFL teams to blackball him because he's doing something that I wouldn't do?
Okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 786-360-0790. Larry is in Oakland Park. I'm going to try to get as many of you as I can. Hi, Larry.
How you doing? I agree with the last caller because I was just about to call about that. He wasn't protesting about the military or anything like that. He was just trying to stand up for, you know, police brutality and stuff. And then that's what I think that's what's really messing him up to get on a team because, you know, the owners of the NFL team, they don't want to bring all this scrutiny to their team and stuff like that. So that's the only thing I can see. But the Michael Vick situation, I think the way he said it in the wrong way, like cutting his hair and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't really think he has to do all that. I think what he needs to do is just tell his agent to, you know, try to call a team, see what we can work out, let them know that I'm not, you know, I'm standing for the anthem, what he had said on before the offseason started, and just go from there. And that's all. I'll just hang up and listen after that.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I think two other points that he needs to make, besides the fact that he's going to comport with team rules and the fact that he's not going to create any sort of scandal, is that, A, he's not expecting to be paid like a starter. That's an important point that I think his agent needs to make.
Okay, but do you think that he's... let's get back to the football stuff for a second. Do you think his agent has asked that he be paid like a starter? Do you think that's one of the possible stumbling blocks that we're just not aware of?
Well, I know the San Jose Mercury News asked his agent about a month and a half ago, are you asking for starters money? There's speculation out there that you are. The agent said no, and that there's been no discussion of money with any teams.
All right.
So he's got to make that point. And the second point that I think Kaepernick has to make is that he would be willing to accept a backup job. He's not going to come in with any demands as far as being a starter. So I think all of those things are points that Kaepernick needs to make in individual meetings with teams that, for whatever reason, he hasn't done it yet. Now, keep in mind, Kaepernick last year in his six-year NFL career, he had his third-best passer rating last year. And I know passer rating can be overstated. He was at 90.7, which is pretty good. 16 touchdowns, 4 picks. Now, on the flip side, obviously, he was on a bad team, and he did nothing really to elevate that team.
Well, but let's look who he had to throw to. I mean, nobody. And the team stunk. I mean, there's a reason they had the top pick in the draft, okay? And you know, how many coaches have they changed in the last couple of years? I mean, it's a bad team. You know,
true,
there's
but
only
the top
so
NFL
far.
Quarterbacks, would you not say, and again, it's only a handful of elite NFL quarterbacks, but if you say Brady and Rodgers, would you not say that they would have made the 49ers at least a 500 team?
What did the Niners win last year? Maybe two games?
Right,
I think
two,
that's right, 2-14?
Yeah, 2-14.
No, Brady does not. I don't think Brady alone gives that team 6 more victories. I really don't.
Yeah, I tend to think he might.
6 more wins, 4 times as many wins as they had.
Because they're going to score points with them, even with an average supporting cast. And I make that point knowing that for years, Brady's supporting cast in New England was not great. Look who he was throwing to before his receiving core was upgraded. In fact, he's going to have the best receiver he's had in several years with Brandon Cooks this year. He has not typically had elite receivers in their prime. Obviously, he's had two great tight ends in their prime. Aaron Hernandez before his conviction and his subsequent death, obviously, and imprisonment. And obviously, Gronkowski. But as far as receiver weapons go, Brady has not had elite talent around him.
You know, we did once, we talked about, I'm not saying necessarily you and I, but I did it with somebody on my show, how many Hall of Famers he's played with. And it's future Hall of Famers. It's not that many.
No. No, he's had a good offensive line.
Gronkowski is one who will go into the Hall of Fame. Any other offensive players that are going in the Hall? Oh, Randy Moss, that's true.
Right, but certainly not in his prime. I thought of Moss as I was making the point, but this was not Moss in his prime. And some might say
Welker.
That
might be it.
Right? Some might say Welker.
Welker is a slot receiver.
What would Welker have done with other teams?
No, you're right. But, I mean, he had one touchdown with the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
Or they shipped him to Boston for a 7th and a 7th.
If Wes Welker was an L.A. Ram for 10 years,
no.
Would Wes Welker have done anything close to this?
Gotten fewer concussions, I hope.
Exactly.
Ricardo's in Miami. There we go. Hi. Hello, Ricardo. Welcome to the Ticket.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Hi.
By the way, I have to say, interrupt for a second. Hang on 1 second. Giancarlo Stanton just hit a home run as we spoke. That's, again, he's hit three multi-homer games in his last night games. He hit number 27 and 28 tonight. And here I think it's the bottom of the first, right? And he just went yard again. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's just it's incredible what this guy is doing and what he can do when healthy. Thanks. Go ahead.
No problem. I understand. No, just my humble two cents on the conversation of Colin Kaepernick. I'm first of all, I'm an immigrant, and you know, as an immigrant, I understand what it is to respect the symbols of any nation.
Yep.
And you see it in the Olympics. You see it in any event. You should be proud of any symbol that represents your nation. And I'm very grateful. I love this country. And for me, not only the national anthem, but the flag and the Constitution, every symbol for me represents a high standard. And so should he should be respectful, not for the military, not for just for the country in general. And if he really wants to make an impact, then he should do something more active rather than a passive. A passive stand, because he did it was really passive. He should have just, instead of doing that,
what should he have done?
Just maybe create a campaign, get all the teams together, get Pepsi, Coca-Cola, and whoever it is, get them all involved and create a campaign where everybody gets educated on the topic and be more proactive.
Okay.
Instead of creating something that, to be honest with you, a lot of people see the bad side of the whole situation, and they don't care about why he took that stand. And I'm telling you, because people from overseas who had known about the whole situation, all they ask for is, this guy, why is he doing that against the national anthem? They don't care about why he did it, but, you know.
Okay, finish up. I got other callers here, but
that's basically what I wanted to say. That you should take a more active, proactive stand and do something like a campaign or something, educate people about the whole situation.
Fair enough, Ricardo. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 786-360-0790. One guy writes in, Tannehill has taken zero snaps in the playoffs in 5 years as a starter. Kaepernick led an NFL team to back-to-back conference finals, one Super Bowl, one play from winning a Super Bowl, and one play from back-to-back Super Bowls, all beginning his first year as a starter. Johnny Football is out of rehab and should be getting a call soon. Well, I don't know about that. Yeah. I'd rather have Kaepernick a million times over than Johnny. I just don't think Johnny Manziel has any desire. He hasn't shown me any desire to play football, any passion for the game.
Right. I know he's trying to fool teams now into thinking that he is really ready to help an NFL roster and be serious about his career, but that's something which you have to see to be convinced about. Josh, I thought of one other reason that I think could be keeping Kaepernick out of the NFL. Obviously, we mentioned the obvious ones, the anthem and his polarizing opinions, the fact that he might want to start, the fact that he was an average starter on a losing team. I'll give you another one. Style of play.
Yes,
he does not fit every NFL offense or close to it as a running quarterback, right? A quarterback who's not a natural drop-back passer.
You're right. Look, a guy texts in. He goes, Frito, we can't overlook the fact that he's proven to be woefully inaccurate from the pocket. Teams know they can't win games with a guy like that regard. He's not very good from the pocket. You're right. You know, when he was he was a read option guy for quite a while. And it was very good. And the read option seemed to be like the flavor of the month in the NFL. But I think then teams got a little reticent because they're putting their quarterbacks at such risk of being hit. But you're right. Look, if teams don't want to sign him, as you say, as the texter says, because look, our offense is predicated on our quarterback staying in the pocket. You know, we're not setting up our offensive line to just go wildly left or right to guard a moving quarterback, which can be very challenging. That's a football reason not to sign him. One I completely accept. But if you're doing it for non-football reasons, that's where I have a problem.
I agree. And just to make the point more about accuracy. Even though Kaepernick's touchdown to interception ratio was very good last year, 16-4, accuracy remains an issue with him. He's erratic. His completion percentage last year, 59.2%, which is below average.
Right.
Just for perspective, Tannehill's was 67.1.
You know what? I mean, I still think he's better than some backups, and probably appreciably better than some backups. Keyshawn is in Miami. Hi, Keyshawn.
Hello, how you doing? First-time caller. I would like to point out two specific things.
One, I'm a veteran, and I've also worked in law enforcement. United States, in and of itself, was founded on protest. We do have the right to protest peacefully, organized, or whatever the case may be. What Colin Kaepernick has done and continues to do is bring light to a very, very pressing and important issue. Now, his hair has nothing to do with the situation. You have Odell Beckham, who has made his fame based on his hairstyle, and it's not something that anyone has condoned or reduced his endorsements based on his hair. The fact of the matter is Colin Kaepernick has touched a vein, a very sensitive vein, by taking this stance. Now, whether it's about the veterans or whether it's about law enforcement, he made clear that it has nothing to do with the veterans. And the fact that we have more homeless veterans than any country in the world, that's something that we should take a look at ourselves and find out why we are not showing an appreciable difference in how we take care of our veterans instead of just railing about the fact that someone took a knee to protest something that is plaguing several communities in the inner city.
Okay, thanks for the call. I mean, it's a serious problem. You're right. I'm trying to sort of keep this more towards sports-ish topics, but you're right. And I'm not trying to minimize what you said is very important.
Yeah, I certainly admire Kaepernick and Kenny Stills and Michael Thomas for the issue that they stand for. It's a fundamental systemic problem in our society, police brutality, the fact that African-Americans are more likely to be targeted by police, and this is statistically proven in terms of people pulled over, you know, stops of vehicles. So I admire their position on this issue. The question is what anyone outside of government or law enforcement can do to help solve this issue. You can call attention to it, but what tangibly can you do to help the matter? I don't know that there's anything right. anyone outside of public office can do.
You know, I never mind criticism as long as it doesn't get, you know, personal or you know, incredibly mean. And this is one that, let me read a text here. It's critical of me, and I'm fine with it. Friedman, you're ignorant if you don't understand why what he's doing is not right. I'll make it simple for you. The NFL's logo is basically an American flag. Let me tell you about this, and I'm not saying the NFL is anti-American or anything. The NFL cares, in my opinion, about one main thing, money. All right? That's what they care about, money. If what Colin Kaepernick was doing was generating millions of dollars, he'd be welcomed into the league. That's what the NFL cares about. And that's behind, in my opinion, Barry, what's your opinion on this? That is behind a lot of what they and other leagues do is the almighty buck.
Oh, without question. And when the league was trying to explain why TV ratings were down last October, they quietly cited Kaepernick and others who were not right. standing for the anthem as a factor. So, of course, they were concerned about money. And when they're doing things this offseason like loosening the rules on celebration, they're not doing it because they want to do something nice for players. They feel like it's something that fans want and that people maybe are more likely to tune in, fringe fans who aren't serious fans. Maybe they see a fun celebration and are more likely to watch. So absolutely everything the NFL does is geared toward money. Now, they would say that safety is their other priority. And in their defense, they have taken some steps in recent years to try to make the game safer. But money is certainly the top priority for the NFL, and I would say for every pro league.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about this still a little bit, but I want to sort of move on to other things here. I have a segment called Accept or Reject. I'm going to give Barry and you, the listener, five premises. You tell me whether you accept them or reject them. He and I will discuss them in the next segment and then open up the phone lines to all of you out there. And one of these premises has to do with Kaepernick. The other four do not. Alongside Barry Jackson, I'm Frito. We're here at 10 o'clock. We're back after this. Win a seat at the 6th annual Jeff Conine Celebrity Poker Classic at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel on August 7th, and you could win $10,000 and other prizes. Proceeds benefit Conine's Clubhouse, a home away from home for the families of children at Joe DiMaggio's Children's Hospital. Take part in the live and silent auction and enjoy a VIP party at Kuro Japanese Restaurant before the tournament kicks off. Win a seat by registering at theticketmiami.com. And for more information on the tournament or to make a donation, please visit ConinePokerClassic.org. What a great, great cause that is. Very nice by Jeff Conine to do that. 7-8. Well, actually, I'm not going to take calls yet. We will take calls following our segment here. This is called Accept or Reject. We occasionally do that on my show here. I'm joined here by Barry Jackson. We'll take you to 10 o'clock. I'm going to read a premise here. You tell me, Barry, if you accept or reject it and why, and I will do the same. The first one, the Dolphins and Jarvis Landry will agree to a contract before the start of the regular season. By the way, he has said he will not negotiate after the regular season begins. So accept or reject, they will agree to a deal before that self-imposed deadline.
I would lean toward no. I wouldn't rule it out, but if I have to give you a yes or no, I would lean toward no for a couple of reasons. One, they haven't even begun contract negotiations yet. There's not been a single offer from the Dolphins to Jarvis Landry's camp, at least as of the end of last week. Now, there's a possibility they will talk in the next couple of weeks. The reason I think why it's going to be difficult for them to have a meeting of the minds is Landry wants number one receiver type money. And I think the Dolphins view Devontae Parker as a player who ultimately will be their number one receiver. He's not that yet, but Landry obviously has excelled as a slot receiver. Nobody's done it better than him in that regard, but Landry fashions himself as a guy who should be able to thrive on the boundary, get more opportunities downfield, and he's going to be looking for money that I believe, from what I've been told, is going to be in the 5-year, $75 million range. Now, as a point of context, T.Y. Hilton a couple of years ago got a deal from the Colts for 5 years and $65 million with $39 million guaranteed. So Landry's going to want more than that. Now, would the Dolphins go as high as $40 to $45 million in guaranteed money for Landry? Would they go as high as 5 years, $75 million? That, to me, is very much in question.
I think they're going to eventually come to an agreement. Yeah, he's asking for more money and maybe wants to be paid like a wideout rather than, say, a slot receiver. But I think they see, even though he has sometimes trouble, he has trouble finding the end zone, he brings so much as a slot receiver, and I think, you know, who's going to make up for those 100-plus receptions if not for him? I think he takes attention away from other receivers. I think they see how valuable he is, how valuable he can be to that offense, to Ryan Tannehill. Yes, they you know, and you would know better than I that no phone calls have been made, no offers have been made, but it doesn't, you know, possibly it doesn't take long to come to a deal, and maybe the Dolphins are just doing all the calculus they need. They've got all training camp to figure this out and to make a deal come to fruition. I think it'll get done.
And the one advantage the Dolphins have in their back pocket is, of course, they can franchise him next year
right,
and pay him what likely would be in the $15 million range. So I do expect Landry to be here in 2018, whether it's on a long-term contract, to me, is 50-50. Next question. Colin Kaepernick will play this year in the NFL, Josh. Yes or no?
And I put these together, by the way, before we ever started the show. I think he will. I think somebody is going to, you know, there will be injuries in the NFL. There always are. You know, Teddy Bridgewater got hurt, and who they make the trade for Sam Bradford. There are always quarterbacks, whether it's a starter, whether it's a backup. Injuries are going to pile up in the NFL. Somebody's going to need a quarterback, and somebody's going to realize he's by far one of the 64 best quarterbacks in the league. Yes, he's got a different style. Yes, he's not great from the pocket, but he will add value to a team, and a team eventually will be desperate enough to say, we need to sign Colin Kaepernick. He will play in the NFL this year.
You know, I agree with your points, and yet I'm going to say no, because I think the level of, and I use the term blackballing loosely, which is sort of funny to use that
right.
term loosely, but it's hard for me to envision that all of the issues that prevented teams or have dissuaded teams from signing him to this point are suddenly going to evaporate. To me, it would have to be several injuries. It would have to be a team that is just so desperate for a quarterback, maybe even multiple injuries at the position. To me, I think RG3 might get a call before Kaepernick because he doesn't have the off-field baggage. He does obviously have the balky knee, but he doesn't have the baggage that Kaepernick has. So I would lean toward no.
Okay. Why not both, by the way?
As far as both might not play?
No, both could be signed. I mean,
there are
many injuries that, you know, injuries just permeate the NFL every
sure.
year.
Now, if we see Manziel get a job before Kaepernick, then we just throw our hands up.
Exactly.
Right?
All right. Next one. This is under the heading that our long local nightmare might be over. Jeffrey Loria will have an agreement in place to sell the Marlins by the end of the season.
I'm going to say yes, but the longer the process goes, the less convinced I am. I asked someone with the Marlins yesterday, is this going to be resolved in the coming days, weeks, months? And the answer I got was, well, not days, hopefully weeks, hopefully as soon as possible. basically what's holding the process up is Jeffrey Loria wants to sell the team to Derek Jeter. There is no doubt in my mind about that. And Jeter simply has been unable to come up with enough money. Now, the situation's been fluid. One day he appears to have the money, then people drop out of his group, then new investors join. And in the meantime, the Marlins are keeping at bay the other competing group of Wayne Rothbaum and Tag Romney, who have the money to get the deal done, but don't want to pay the $1.2 billion asking price. To me, this has to come to a head with either Loria lowering his asking price or Jeter or Rothbaum agreeing and having the money to go to $1.2 billion, which I'm skeptical if either will. I think ultimately Loria has to lower his asking price. I think he feels urgency to sell. And so I think there is an agreement in principle by the end of the year, not closing by the end of the year, but an agreement in principle.
I think there will be an agreement, but I'm going to make two predictions. One, I don't think it's going to be Jeter's group as much as he wants to sell to Derek Jeter. I find it hard to believe, based on maybe your reporting or what others are saying, that Jeter, who's going to put in maybe as little as $25 million, which is a lot to you and me, but when it comes to a $1.1, $1.2 billion asking price, that's a pittance. I can't see whoever the big money people are giving Jeter the control that he wants, particularly on the business side of the team. That said, I think Loria, I don't know his level of desperation, but I think he wants to just finally get as much as he can get. $1.3 billion seemed like a ton. Maybe he's lowered it to $1.2. I think he's going to go just a little bit lower, realize that he's still, before tax, is going to profit by about $1 billion, all right? And I think he's going to take that. I think he will sell. I think he wants to sell. I think he wants to put this thing to bed before maybe the price drops, and he wants to just take the money, take what he can, and get out of here. I think by the end of the regular season, end of September, there will be a deal in place to sell the Miami Marlins.
I would agree. And for those who are rooting for George Moss, his efforts to buy the team have lost considerable steam over the last 48 hours. It was portrayed to me that he is unlikely to buy the team at this point. There have been a lot of issues, including the fact that Moss is upset that he can't have an exclusive negotiating period, which would allow him to be the sole person the Marlins are talking to while he's trying to raise money.
Why should they give him that?
Right. I agree that the Marlins need to keep it competitive. Just, you know, it seems like the right thing to do in their efforts to get this done. Next question that Josh poses, it's a good one. The next South Florida team to win a championship will be the Miami Hurricanes. Yes or no?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I'm just looking at the other team. I think Rick has this team. He's got a great recruiting class coming in next year. I think he's got the quarterback of the future this year with Nakosi Perry. Hopefully he stays. Well, he's got to stay around for at least 3 years, hopefully 4 years. I look at the other teams. The Panthers, no, they've taken a big step backwards when they dumped Dale Talon. Hopefully they take steps forward now that they brought him back. Marlins, not even close. We don't need to have even a second sentence on that. The Dolphins, they might regress this year in terms of record, but I still think this is a team on the rise. I just think the hurdles right now, particularly as long as Brady is playing even close to what he's doing, they're just too much to even reach a Super Bowl, let alone win a Super Bowl. The Heat, no, not as long as Golden State's around and not as long as LeBron is playing in the East. They won't even come close to making it. And even if LeBron were to take his talents to the West Coast, okay, the Heat right now are not as good as Boston. Boston is, I think, a really good team now with a lot of promise for the future with the draft picks that they still have in their coffers. So, no, I don't think the Heat will at all. It's going to be hard for any team to win a championship coming from down here, but I believe in Mark Richt. At least they have a better chance of winning a title, I think, than any of the teams that I've mentioned.
Well, I've got a bit of a twist for you in my answer to this. I would say yes, that UM would be the most likely of the prominent teams down here to win a championship next, but I think it's basketball as much as football that has a chance. And I know it's unlikely that Miami could win 6 games in an NCAA tournament, but this could on paper be the best UM basketball team we've seen since the program was reinstated in the 80s. They've got two legitimate top 25 players in Lonnie Walker and Bruce Brown. Brown's a terrific guard who's an NBA prospect, probably will rise to first-round pick. Walker could be UM's first one-and-done player. He did have a knee injury, but he is expected to be back in time for the opener. They have a dynamic point guard named Chris Likes, Dwan Huell, who was a highly regarded kid coming in their class last year, is much improved, according to Larrañaga. So I think this has the potential to be a Sweet 16 team. And look, if you get to the Sweet 16 at that point, all you need to do is win four more games to win a championship. So while it's unlikely UM would win a national title, I think it's far more likely that UM basketball would win a national title than the Panthers or Marlins or Dolphins or Heat winning championships in the next 3 years. As far as UM football, I would agree with you. I think they've got a decent chance. Certainly not this year, but you know, the following year, if one of their two high-end quarterbacks should actually play up to their status, Nikosi Perry, or the kid coming in next year, Artur Sitkowski, a kid out of IMG Academy in Bradenton, who's also well-regarded.
We got one more that involves Dwayne Wade, but we're late for a break. We'll take it next segment to lead off the segment, and then I want to take your phone calls on any of these that we've, again, I'll give you the four premises. You can call. I'm already getting taken to task by a guy who said, you're nuts for thinking that Boston's better than Miami. Boston has no bench depth. It was a texter. I wrote back to him. I said, call the show. We'll take calls next segment on all of these topics. I welcome them. The four premises thus far, the Dolphins and Jarvis Landry will agree to a contract before the start of the regular season. Premise number two, Colin Kaepernick will play this year in the NFL. Premise number three, Jeffrey Loria will have an agreement in place to sell the Marlins by the end of the season, which is the end of September. And number four, the next South Florida team to win a championship will be the Miami Hurricanes. We will have one more involving Dwayne Wade after the break, but we welcome your phone call, 786-360-0790. The lines are wide open. Back after this.